Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
good evening and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that means that no matter what trials, no matter what tribulations, no matter what situations we go through, God is always there with us. He's got a good plan in store for us, and he's going to work things out for our favor. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I'm so glad that you joined me tonight. We're teaching on part three of a series that I've been teaching for the past few weeks called High Hopes. The name of this message is High Hopes, and we're teaching part three of this message. And basically, what I've been teaching is that hope is oftentimes a missing element in our faith. You know, the scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. So faith is a substance of the things that we hope for, an evidence of things not seen. And then we looked at the definition of hope. Hope is a comes from a Greek word, ellipsis or ellipsis. Lipo is actually the root word, and it means to anticipate or to welcome, to anticipate or to welcome. And so we talked about hope being something that is an element that we use to anticipate something that's going to happen. So as we're believing God for something, we're anticipating that God is going to bring the fruit of what it is that we're believing for. And, you know, I discussed and talked about it that one of the reasons why a lot of times we fail to access from the things of God is because there's no hope mixed with what we're believing. We believe, we say, oh, yeah, God, I know that you can do this. I believe that you'll do this, but we don't actually have the hope. And the hope, that's that expectation, it's that excitement, it's that missing element and everything that causes us to manifest the things that we're believing God for. And so I wanted to look at a scripture that I had started preaching on last week, and it's in Romans 4:18. And it's a real powerful scripture. And it says that even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, this is how many descendants you will have. And so basically what this scripture was talking about was Abraham. And some of you remember the scripture, but I think it bears repeating. In Genesis chapter 12, God had spoke to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I've called you to be the father of many nations. And he told Abraham, Abraham, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations, and from you all of the nations shall be blessed. And so Abraham held on to this word. Abraham, who at that name was Abram, God then changed his name to Abraham, but that time he was Abram. Abram, at the time that God called him, was 75 years old, and him and Sarah had never had a child. You know, him and Sarah, his wife had never had a child. And so if you could imagine God coming to you and you're 75, and he says, okay, you and Sarah, y'all have not been able to have kids, but you're actually going to be the father of many nations. And you could imagine the amount of excitement and encouragement that that brought to Abram's heart. And so the scripture then goes on, in around, I think it's Genesis chapter 15, and by this time some years had gone by, and Abraham was starting to get disappointed. You know, he was starting to get kind of sad. You know, and this is an encouragement to many of you. You know, some of you have received prophetic words, and you've been like, Lord, I have not seen the manifestation of this prophetic word. And so now what's happened is you said, well, Lord, it's gotten too late for this word to come to pass. Or, Lord, I don't see how this word could come to pass when now I've got this thing going on in my life and I've got that thing going on in my life. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that whatever promise the Lord has made you, I will tell you that whatever promise that he's gave you, whatever promise he's made you, he will see to it that it comes to pass. And that the prophetic word that you have received, that you are never to let go of that word, but to continually hang on to the manifestation of that word. And so Abraham, around Genesis chapter 15, he starts getting sad and depressed because the prophetic word that he received from the Lord has not come to pass. And so then the scripture says that God tells Abraham, go look in the sky. And so Abraham looks in the sky, and he says, as many as the stars are, so shall your descendants be. And so God came to him again to confirm that the prophetic word that I've given you will surely come to pass. Now, a lot of times God does that with us. You know, God gave me a revelation. You know, the scripture where Apostle Paul says that Apollos watered, I planted, but God gives the increase. Well, the Lord has shown me that that also is not just in ministry situations, but that's also in relationship to scripture. And that, and to the prophetic word, and that when God speaks a prophetic word, sometimes the prophetic word comes as a seed form. You know, God gives us plant something in us that we don't recall God speaking to us before, and he sows it as a seed. Then God will oftentimes bring somebody to follow up behind the prophetic word and water it. So you'll receive an additional prophetic word. You'll receive a confirmation word where God is letting you know that he still hasn't changed his mind concerning the prophetic word that he gave you. But then ultimately it's God who brings the increase. God is the one that enables us to bring that prophetic word to pass. And so that's exactly what happened to Abraham. God makes himself known to Abraham. Now, this is something that a lot of people may not understand about Abraham. You know, Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees. And if you do any study about that particular area, it was a very pagan area. They served, sun gods, other different types of gods besides, our God that we serve now. And so God reveals himself to Abraham. Abraham has never had any type of contact with the great God Jehovah. He's been serving these other gods, serving the sun god, the moon god, or whatever. And so now God reveals himself to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So you got to understand that initial contact that God had with Abraham, it had to have been something that was extremely powerful and extremely life-transforming that would cause him to make a total paradigm shift and shift from his way of believing, to the gods that he was serving to then believe in one God, to go from what we call polytheistic, where basically you believe in multiple gods, and him to make that shift from believing in multiple gods to believing in one God. That in itself shows you how powerful, God's revelation was to Abraham, that someone who had grown up in a totally different paradigm of who God was would now, drop his paradigm and begin to serve God in spirit and truth. And so Abraham makes this paradigm shift. And so then, years go on, Abraham gets, becomes sad. And so then God begins to manifest himself to him again and tells him, Abraham, look in the stars, as many as stars in the sky, so shall your descendants be. Meaning that Abraham was going to have many, 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 many descendants. And so, so this says a whole lot about how, God manifested himself into Abraham. But then God did something different. The scripture says God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abram, and he had him put out an offering. And then he caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. And then when Abraham woke up, he saw a fire, that came, and it basically, caused the animal sacrifice. God caused the animal sacrifice to be supernaturally, made upon the altar. And that was basically the Lord confirming his covenant with Abraham. He was confirming his covenant with Abraham. And so this is another reason why Abraham was so powerfully able to believe God, was because God established covenant with him. Now, you know, in our modern day, we don't necessarily always understand covenant, but covenant was a very, very powerful thing, because when you establish covenant with somebody, basically what it says is that everything that's mine is yours, and everything that's yours is mine. And that if I don't uphold my end of the covenant, you know, then you have the right to kill me. You know, you literally had to, if you were in covenant with somebody and they did not uphold their end of the covenant, you had the right to kill them. So God is such a God of integrity and keeping his word that he would actually make covenant with man, knowing basically that man has nothing to offer him, and yet man receives all of the blessings and all of the benefits of the covenant from God's side. You know, so God makes his covenant with Abraham and says, you know, from you all the descendants, you know, from you and your descendants to all of the nations be blessed. And so God is confirming this covenant with Abraham. But even still, Abraham began to get disappointed. And so in Romans chapter 4, you know, the scripture confirms this by saying that even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of many nations. So it says that there was, you know, I like the way the King James says it. It says he hoped against hope. And I was looking that up today, and one of the things I saw in dictionary.com, it was talking about how when you use the terminology hope against hope, that that's also an idiom, you know, which basically is saying that you continue to believe even when there's no reason for you to believe. I mean, can you think about that? I mean, really, so basically what that's saying is, and what Romans is confirming in that, when it says that Abraham, he hoped against hope, that basically in the natural, there was nothing that Abraham could see that caused him to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, and yet Abraham still believed anyway. I'm going to say that again. There was nothing that Abraham could see that would lead him to believe that he was going to be the father of many nations, that he was going to have a child by Sarah, and that he would be the father of many nations, except for the fact that God gave him a word. But there was nothing natural that he could see that would cause him to believe that that was going to come to pass. And this is what I want to encourage you on tonight. Some of you are in some tough situations, and you may have a wayward child that you've been believing God that he's going to get saved. You've received a word from the Lord that this child is going to be saved. Maybe you're believing God for a healing. You know, you're believing God for a supernatural healing. And and there's nothing that you see in the natural that would tell you that what God has said concerning your healing is going to come to pass. As a matter of fact, it may even seem the opposite. You know, since you got the prophetic word, it seems like your health is actually getting worse. Or since you received the prophetic word that your son or your daughter was going to get saved, it looks like now they're acting worse. You know, or you've received a word that God, you know, is going to financially bless you, and yet you can't even see how you're going to be able to pay your mortgage next month. Or maybe, you know, it's just a simple fact of you being able to pay your bill this month, and you can't see how God is going to pay it. You know, but the scripture says, "I will supply all your need according to your riches and glory," And so this is the same situation that Abraham was in, because there was nothing in the natural to make him believe that he was going to be the father of many nations. As a matter of fact, everything was moving contrary to that, because God gives him the prophetic word, and now Abraham is almost 100 years old, and he still has not had a baby from Sarah. Now, he got in the flesh and had a baby with his handmaiden, Hagar. And that caused a whole bunch of drama and foolishness. And he got in the flesh thinking that he could make God's word come to pass by doing something in his own self, in his own flesh. And so he had Ishmael. Hagar was who he got involved with. He had Ishmael. Ishmael, some of you may not know, Ishmael was actually the descendants of, those people who live in Iran, you know, in Iraq, you know, and from that day until this day, you know, the family of Abraham, Isaac, which are the Jews, have been fighting the Palestinians, you know, so you can see it how even to this day, you know, that Abraham having that baby out of wedlock with his handmaiden, you know, caused problems. You know, sometimes that's how it is with us. We get a prophetic word from the Lord, and then we try to make it happen in our own flesh, and then we birth an Ishmael, and then we have to pay the price, you know, for the bad actions that we had. But nevertheless, Abraham still had a promise, and the scripture says that he continued to hope against hope. So in other words, there was no reason in the natural for him to believe that anything was going to come to pass except for the fact that he had a word from the Lord. Amen. And some of you, you know, God is telling me to tell you that you need to hang on to the word of God that he gave you. If he told you, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to pull you out of debt, then he's going to bless you and he's going to pull you out of debt. If God told you, I'm going to heal you, then he's going to heal you. If God told you, I'm going to bring that you know, rascal home, that son, that daughter that won't get saved, then God is going to do it. But God, because God's word is true and God cannot lie. And the scripture says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And the scripture says that God is not slack concerning his promises as man is, but he will surely do what it is that he said he would, and he will stand on it. And so what Abraham did is Abraham stood on the word of God. And the scripture says that because he stood on the word of God, he continued to hope against hope. And, beloved, I'm encouraging you tonight. You need to hope against hope. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what the situation is. God is telling me to tell you that you need to hope against hope. Even when the things in the natural do not seem like it's coming to pass, even though it looks like it's totally contrary to what God has told you to, I want to encourage you tonight that God is saying you need to continue to hope against hope, and you need to stand on the word of God. God says this is not a time for you to turn back. This is not a time for you to get weak. This is not a time for you to get double-minded. The scripture says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he'll receive nothing from God. God says this is not a time for you to get double-minded. God says this is a time for you to stand on his word, believe what he said, and God says, I will surely manifest it and cause it to come to pass. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So I want to encourage you tonight. You know, as you're going forth and you're standing on God's word and you're believing him in this season, you know, stand on God's word and continue to believe him. Now I'm looking, and you know, a lot of people are not on tonight, and a lot of people need to hear this message. You know, because I get a lot of requests for prophetic words, and you know, that's what I'm here for. But a lot of times, after the prophetic word has been administered, then somebody wants me to come back and give another prophetic word. And you know, a lot of times God is saying, you know, I want you to believe what I told you the first time. Why am I going to give you another prophetic word when I told you the last time what to do? You know, and so this is another thing we need to understand about the prophetic. You know, the prophetic is not like a gumball machine, you know, where I put a quarter in and out comes a gumball. You know, when you receive a prophetic word from the Lord, God then holds you accountable to that word. So that means once you receive that prophetic word, if it's a word from God, God then holds you accountable. And he is holding you accountable that you're going to stand on that word and you're going to believe that word. You know, so sometimes, you know, we're so quick, we want another word from God when we fail to stand on what he told us the first time. So in the case with Abram, so here it is, he's now 100 years old, and God finally gives him the son. So it was literally 25 years from the time that God made the promise to the time that he saw the manifestation of it come to pass, because most theologians believe that Abram was about 75 years old when he first came in contact with God, and that he was around 100 or you know, definitely at least 100 when he had his first child of the covenant with Isaac. So it was almost 25 years. I can hear some of you now, you're saying, oh, Brother Kyle, so you're saying it's going to take me 25 years for my prophecy to come to pass. I don't have that long. No, I'm not saying it's going to necessarily take 25 years, but I will say that, you know, a lot of times God is wanting us to stand on his word so that the manifestations of what it is that we're believing for will come to pass. And I think a lot of times we don't see the manifestation of the prophecy because we give up. We say, that's not going to come to pass. And you're going to say, you know, some people, they'll say, well, you know, if it's a prophetic word for God, it's going to come to pass regardless. But, you know, that's not what the Bible says. Let me show y'all a scripture. I wasn't even going to teach on this. But I need to show you this. Because a lot of people don't understand this, and, you know, even some people, they teach that. They say, well, you know, the prophetic word, you know, if it's from God, it's going to come to pass regardless. Well, sometimes it will, but then there's other words, you know, that are conditional, and they're conditional upon our acting on them. Okay, so this is Mark 4. This is Mark 4, starting verse 1. And so again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake. Starting in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not hear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then Jesus said, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. So when he was alone, the 12 and the others came around him, and they asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seen but never perceiving, and never hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. And then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? So Jesus goes on to share with them, you know, that this parable is extremely significant to understanding other parables. So, you know, when we look at this, what is a parable? A parable is a story that gives us an example. A parable is a story that gives us an example of principles of God. So whether we think of a vision, we think of a dream, we think of how God speaks to us in prophecy, it's all, you know, a lot of times that's parables, it's stories. So Jesus is admonishing us in the scripture. It's very important that we understand this parable, because if we don't understand this parable, we won't understand a lot of the other ways in which God speaks to us. So then Jesus goes on to explain the parable, verse 14. He says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Okay, now, when I used to look at this scripture, I used to think that this was strictly talking about the Bible. This was talking about scripture. But as I did a word study and I began to consult with the Lord about this, the Lord showed me, you know, this parable is not just specific to, you know, the Logos, which we think of, that's the written word. But this parable is also talking about prophecy as well. So He says 14, so the sower sows the word. Okay, so it's the prophet. The prophet or the prophetic minister or whoever is being used to administer the prophetic word, they sow the word. They sow that word of prophecy. Verse 15, so some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So that scripture says that some people, when they receive a prophetic word, you know, immediately Satan comes and he plucks that prophetic word out of them. I mean, how many times have you received a prophetic word? You'll get a word, you know, the prophet or the minister will say something like, you know, God's going to bless you, God's going to increase you, and then, you know, the next day, you know, you get some unexpected bill, or 2 weeks later, you know, you get a repossession notice, or, you know, something like that happens. All of that, instruments by which Satan works, like the scripture says, as soon as they hear it, they hear the prophetic word, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Those are all ways in which Satan tries to steal and pluck up the word that's been sown in you, whether that's the scripture that you heard from your pastor or from your minister, or you heard in, you know, in your own study time, or it's the prophetic word that you receive. Satan immediately comes and tries to steal that prophecy from you. So some prophetic words that go forth, they don't come to pass because Satan comes and steals the word, the promise that was given to you. Okay, verse 16. Others, like seeing sown on rocky places, hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So that scripture is saying that basically other people, you know, when they receive, you know, they receive a word or they receive a prophecy from God, you know, at first they get all excited about, bless God, the Lord says, I'm going to be a minister to all the nations. God's going to send me into all the earth to preach the gospel. God is going to bless me. He's going to increase me. He's going to, you know, give me a new car. He's going to give me whatever the prophetic word is. You know, they get all excited about it. But then life comes, and then they start having, you know, trials and tribulations. You know, the wife starts acting crazy. The husband walks out and leaves you. The cat dies. The cat gets pregnant. You know, I mean, you name it, any bad thing that can happen that Satan will bring, you know, through the cares of this world, you know, we get attacked with sickness or whatever. And then so what happens? Then that prophetic word, it does not grow. As a matter of fact, the scripture says it quickly falls away. How does it fall away? Because people, they get inundated with all of these problems and stuff, and then they say to themselves, they say, okay, well, I guess that word, it wasn't really from God, or that prophetic word, it couldn't have been from God, because if it was from God, then all these different things would not be happening in my life. But the scripture clearly says right here that, you know, when that seed is sown, you know, that persecution comes because of the word. So what that tells us is that Satan will bring persecution to you, you know, primarily for the word's sake. And what is it? He's trying to steal the word of God, the prophecy that God has given you. He's trying to steal it so that that prophetic word does not manifest. Okay? And then in verse 18 it says, still others, like seeing sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So other people, they receive the prophetic word, but then they start experiencing trials and tribulations and all kinds of problems. Or the scripture says the deceitfulness of riches. So that means they start acquiring wealth in other ways, or they get what they think is a blessing from God, and really it's a blessing from the enemy to distract them. You know, we see this, you know, and it's with a whole lot of other people. I'm just using this as an example. You see a lot of well-meaning Christians, and then they start becoming wealthy, and then they totally get off track of what God has given them the wealth for. and they begin to let go of the word that God gave them, how God gave them a, you know, a purpose and a destiny and told them, you know, that they were going to achieve this, achieve that, and they totally get sidetracked because they start getting cluttered up with you know, with the deceitfulness of riches. You know, it's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but the deceitfulness of riches is when you love money more than you love God, or when you allow money to take precedent over God. You know, see, we're not to love money. You know, we're not to allow money to take precedent over God. You know, God is our source, and money is the tool that God uses for us to bless others and to advance the kingdom. That's all it is. Money, the main purpose for money is for us to advance the kingdom. It's for us to, you know, support Christian ministry so that the gospel can be preached, to purchase Christian books so that we can be increased in the knowledge of God, to bless, you know, our family and people. That's the whole purpose of wealth. You know, the whole purpose of wealth is not for us to get a new car and a new house and, you know, to take a vacation to the Florida Keys. Now, is there anything wrong with any of those things? No, it's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But that's not the purpose of wealth. The purpose of wealth is for us to advance the kingdom. So this scripture says, but some people, they lose sight of the purpose for wealth, and so their own desires choke the word out and prevent that prophetic word from coming to pass. And then in verse 26, others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, okay? They hear the prophetic word. They accept it. They accept the prophecy. And it produces a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. So, you know, what the Lord clearly showed me about this is the 30 to 60 and 100 fold. The 30 to 60, 100 fold is not predicated on God. You know, God doesn't look at us and say, okay, I'm going to give so-and-so 30 fold. I'm going to give Kyle 30 fold. I'm going to give Mary 60 fold. And I'm going to give Jerry 100 fold. No, he doesn't arbitrarily pick out and say, I'm going to give this person 30. I'm going to give this person 60. I'm going to give another person 100. The 30 to 60 and 100 fold is disseminated to the degree and to the dimension that we accept and receive that prophetic word. I'm going to say that again. The manifestation of the 30, the 60, and the 100 fold is not predicated on God, but it's predicated on how, to the degree and to the dimension that we accept and we receive the prophetic word of God. You know, so to the degree that I accept and I receive that word, that's going to be to the degree and the dimension that I receive the 30, the 60, or the 100-fold harvest. You know, it's not predicated on God. And so I guess what I'm saying and all of that is, you know, as we started talking about Abraham, is that Abraham stood on the word regardless of what he saw. He stood on the word and he believed God. And the scripture says, in one place it even says, that it was then accounted to him as righteousness, you know, that Abraham believed God's word, and God accounted it to him, you know, as righteousness. So, you know, we're to stand on God's word and continue to believe his word regardless of what we see, you know, because the scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's an evidence of things not seen. Okay, so then how do we energize our faith? Well, we energize our faith through our hope. It's through our excitement. I maintain an excitement that I know that when I hear that prophetic word, you know, and I know that it's from God, that then I hang on to that word and I get excited because I'm looking forward to that word coming to pass. You know, because we can thwart the prophetic word by our attitude about it, you know. I get a prophetic word and, you know, I hear it. I say, oh, I don't believe that. God's not going to do that. You know, I don't see how God could do that. You know, all of those things can delay and even sometimes deter the prophetic word from coming to pass. Because we just saw in Mark chapter 4, it says, you know, that some people, they didn't receive the word. You know, they heard it. they didn't receive it. Then some, they heard the prophetic word at first. They got all excited about it. Then, you know, when problems started happening, then they started blaming God. You know, how many people do that? You know, oh, I believe God, I believe God. But then as soon as we have troubles, then all of a sudden it's like, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? You know, I counsel people quite frequently. They get mad at God. I'm mad at God. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. He didn't, you know, and usually most of the time when we get angry at God, it's because we expected him to do something that he never promised. And I'm going to say that again. A lot of times when we get angry with God, it's because we expected God to do something that he never promised. You know, don't get mad at God because you were believing God for somebody else's husband. God's not going to give you somebody else's husband. Amen. Don't get mad at God because he didn't get you that new job that you wanted when God never even said he was going to give you that job. That was a job you said you wanted. I don't know who I'm talking to now, but I hope I'm helping you. And I'm hoping some of you'll share this with your friends and it'll help them. Because a lot of times we blame the prophet, and I'm not saying that prophets should not be held accountable. The scripture says that, let the prophet prophesy and let the others judge. You know, a prophet is not worth anything if he can't have his words judged. Now, I don't have any problem with anybody judging my prophecies. You know, if I miss it, you know, I own up to it and say, hey, I missed it. You know, you know, a lot of times we say a prophet missed it when really it was just our failure to believe the prophetic word. You know, there is an element of faith that has to be accessed on our end. And we see that from Mark chapter 4. I don't really understand that there's any other way you can interpret that. You know, Mark chapter 4 is pretty clear, you know, that when the prophetic word goes forth, you know, some falls on stony ground, you know, some falls on shallow ground, some falls on good ground. And then even as we receive it, the scripture says that to the degree and dimension that we receive that prophetic word, that's the degree and dimension that we receive either a 30 or 60 or 100-fold harvest on it. Amen? So it's our believing, it's our acceptance of that word that causes it to manifest itself, you know, the 30 to 60 and the 100 fold. So, you know, I want to encourage you with that. So when the scripture is saying that Abraham hoped against hope, that means that he continued to believe that prophetic word, even though that there was nothing in the natural that he saw that would cause him to believe that it was from God. I mean, you know, think about it. That's pretty outstanding that you believed that God was going to cause your wife to have a baby who's never had one. You know, it wasn't just that Sarah didn't have a baby. You know, it was the fact that she couldn't. They had been married for I don't know how many years, but you know, Abram was now 75 years old. So you can best believe they've probably been married at least 30 or 40 years. And I'm sure that in all those 30 to 40 years, Sarah had been trying to have a baby, and she wasn't able to have one. And so now God comes and says, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations. And the scripture says that actually when God first prophesied and said that Sarah's going to have a baby, Sarah laughed. She didn't believe it. She didn't even believe it herself. And then so God called her on the carpet and he said, Sarah, are you laughing at what I promised you? And then she lied and said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not laughing. But initially her first inclination was, yeah, right, we'll see about that. But God still calls the manifestation of that word to come to pass. She hoped against hope. And so what I want to say to you guys in closing is this. You continue to believe regardless of what you see. If you have a word from God, from a prophet that you respect and you believe that he hears from God, you hang on to that word. You hang on to that word and you hope against hope, and regardless of what you see, you know, everything may be moving totally contrary to what the prophecy says. You hang on to that prophecy and you stand in faith. And as the scripture has said, that if it falls on good ground, which the good ground is your soul, you believe your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, that's the good ground. When you stand on what you believe from your soul, you don't let the cares of this world, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, choke the word. You don't get all excited about the prophecy and receive it, but then when it looks like stuff is going contrary, which the scripture says that Satan does intentionally to steal the word, or he causes trials and tribulations to come for the word's sake, so he can steal the word. But you continually to stand on that word, and God says if you continually stand on that word, you're gonna see his manifestations take place in your life. And so, in closing, you know, I've been praying this, and I'm gonna pray it again tonight. I'm gonna believe tonight that the enemy is not gonna steal the word from you. Whatever prophetic word has been spoken to you, that was truly spoken from the Lord, that word will come to pass in its perfect time and season, and that in no way would the enemy be able to pluck that word up out of you. He won't be able to steal it away from you. But just like a bulldog that's you know, hanging on to a handkerchief and won't let go of who locks into it, that you're going to lock into that word. You're not going to let go. You're not going to get weak in your faith, but you're going to stand on it. And just like the scripture said with Abraham, you're going to hope against hope, which means you're going to believe regardless of what you see. You're going to continue to believe the word of God in you, and you're going to stand on it, and you're going to see the manifestation of it. And by the degree that you receive it, you're going to receive the harvest, and you're going to see the manifestation on that prophetic word, whether it's a 30, 60, or 100-fold blessing. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's listening tonight. And, Lord, there's several people listening they've received a prophetic word from you, and now they're in a situation where their faith is being challenged, and they're being challenged to hope against hope. But, Father, I thank you, Lord, they're going to continue to stand forth in the faith of God, and they're going to stand forth, and they're not going to waver. And in no way, form, or fashion will the enemy be able to steal the prophetic word that's been spoken to them. But, Lord, I speak and decree that you're going to build a hedge of protection around them, and they're going to receive a fold return, a 30 or 60-fold return on the word that was spoken, and it's going to manifest itself and come to pass in your perfect time and in your perfect season. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty, so I'm going to now open up the phone lines. If you would like to talk with me, you can call me on the guest call-in number. It's 347-996-3442. All right, caller, your last four digits are 002. Hello. Caller, you on the air? All right, next. Okay. All right, caller, your last four digits are 6044.
Yes, I am on.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Do you have a question, comment, or concern, or you're just listening to the show?
I was just listening. It was my first time listening, but I praise God for the word.
Okay. Praise God. What did you enjoy tonight?
What I enjoyed was just when you went to Mark and you were talking about the giving the examples about, you know, the seed and holding on, you know, to the word and talking about the role that we play in the prophecy actually, you know, manifesting, you know. So that was really just powerful because I know that there are words that have been spoken, and it allowed me the opportunity to inspect myself as to what my attitude may have been as I'm walking it out. So that was Amen. Really, really powerful.
Amen. Well, woman of God, what's your first name?
D.
Okay. D, the Lord wants you to know, well, you already know this, that there is a ministry calling upon your life. And the Lord says that right now you've been in a transition. God's been taking you from one place to another. But God says, I'm about to elevate you. God says, even on your job, I'm about to elevate you. And God says, I'm going to cause you to be raised up among your enemies. And God says, I'm going to cause you to eat, at the table in the presence of your enemies. For the Lord says, those people in the past who tried to hold you back, God says, you will now be ruler over. God says, I'm going to even bring to shame and to naught some plans of the enemy. God says that the enemy has been trying to conspire some things to try to sabotage some things that you've been involved in, but God says not so. God says, you know, that the bowl is full and that justice is at hand, and God says, I'm going to execute justice in this situation, and I'm going to cause you to triumph, because God says that there is a word that's within you, and God says that you're going to be my ministry tool that I'm going to use to go into some dark places. And God says you're going to go into these places, and God says you're going to have such power and you're going to have such authority because you have been intimately acquainted with me and my word and my spirit. And God says when people see you, they'll know that they know that they know that you've been with God, because you'll be a woman of excellence, you'll be a woman of power, and you'll be a woman of authority, says the Spirit of the living God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Glory.
Amen. So thank you so much for listening tonight.
Praise God.
Okay. All right, caller. Next, your number is 8459. Question, comment, concern.
Hello, Prophet Kyle. This is Wendy. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. What's going on?
Hi. Great teaching. I love it. You already know my situation and everything, and it is very important. You know, sometimes, when you get a word from the Lord, you know, and everything, and you believe God for things, you know, and then sometimes things happen where you lose something, you know, or whatever, but you still have to maintain the faith to believe that God did not allow certain things to happen for just any old reason, you know, and stuff. So you really have to just hold on to the word of God, regardless, like you were saying tonight, regardless of what you see, how you feel, how you think, you know, and everything. Because, and I believe personally myself, as I'm going through this and everything, that as you go through and keep on believing God, as he walks you through the process, your faith will increase all the more if you continue to believe and hold on to what he's promised you, regardless of what has happened, regardless of what has been taken away from you. But I thank God for the teaching, you know, and everything that you're teaching that, because it's very important that we stay focused on the word of God, regardless of what we see or how we feel, you know, and things, because God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And I just thank God for that, for the teaching that you've taught me. That's really wonderful.
Well, Wendy, as you were sitting there talking, I heard like a wind blowing. And God says, that's what I'm doing in your life. I'm causing a new wind to blow. And God says, this is going to be a wind of refreshing. God says, I'm going to refresh you from the battle that you've gone through in the last season. And the Lord says, little do you know, woman of God, but you have turned a major corner in me. For the Lord says, you will now begin to see manifestations of change begin to take place in your life. And God says, you will begin to start seeing a new grace, a new favor begin to show out in your life like you've never seen before. And you will be amazed, and you'll wonder, and you'll say, okay, it's just like everything is just working out. I don't understand. Even the people, they just being so nice to me. God says, it's my new favor that I'm pouring out upon you. And God says, it's going to be an anointing for you to do whatever needs to be done to make things happen. So the Lord says, go forth and know that whatever it is that you put your hands to, I'm going to cause it to come to pass because I've already gone out before you. And God says, don't even be ashamed to ask people what you might would consider to be outrageous or off the wall or, oh, that's too much. God says, no, it's not too much. Just ask, and God says, you shall receive, and knock, and the door will be open, and seek, and you will find. Because the Lord says that you stood the test of time, and God says, now I'm bringing you into a new level of grace, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Thank you. I received that word. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, next caller, you're 1987. Hello? Okay. So somebody, they sound like they jamming out to some good praise music. So next caller, you are 6452. You're live on the air, Beauty Fashions.
Good afternoon, Prophet Kyle.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi. Oh, good evening. I'm not sure what part of the country is.
Yeah, one of those. I don't know where you're calling from. It may be afternoon.
Yeah, I still have some daylight here where I am. So, but
okay.
I'm ready to move, to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
And the job where I'm on, people want me to stay. But my heart isn't. I mean, I love what I do, but it's not the thing that I know. The purpose that God has called me to. And
mm-hmm.
so at this point, I want to be in God's will. And I can go back and work another year, but I'm a teacher, school teacher.
Yeah.
But frustration is here because I'm not using the gift of talent that God has given to me. And I want to.
Well, you know, God is saying that, in fact, you are, because God says I'm grooming you for Now, this is what I hear, and I don't know if the Lord's ever spoken this to you, but pastoral ministry. God says that you're called as a pastor. And so God says, I've been grooming that through all of the different experiences that you had and even your ability to, treat your students as individuals. And the Lord says that that's one thing God says I'm so happy with you about is that you look at students individually and you recognize that each student needs something differently. And God says that's mm-hmm. the same way it is that I am and how I respond to my children, and then I recognize that each child is different and so their needs are different. And the Lord says I've been grooming that in you. God says I've also been grooming your ability for discernment. God says you're extremely sharp in your ability to navigate different personalities and knowing how to deal with different people on different situations, recognizing this person needs more attention, this person really needs to be left alone, this person grooms with praise, this person, you know, doesn't need as much attention. And you've groomed and you've learned all of that through your experiences, in what you've been doing. And God says all of that has been sharpening. Now, you know, as soon as you started talking, you know, the Lord had told me, it's interesting you said, you know, come back in another year, because that's exactly what I was hearing. I was hearing the Lord say, you need to stay for at least one more year. And so just settle in it and know that this is going to be a year where God is going to bless you and he's going to increase you. And God says that when you're done, you'll know, because the door will be open for you to go. And God says you'll know because the doors will begin to start moving forward for you to go, you know, into that next phase. But God says what he wants to do with you is, you know, as you're moving forward, he really wants you to be in a situation where everything is golden, and that really what you're going to see is a huge increase in a lot of different areas over this next year. You're going to see a lot of increase, and it's like God says everything that you put your hands to, it's like you're going to have like a Midas touch. It's like everything that you put your hand to, it's going to prosper. And God says he's doing that because it's a setup for where you're going next. And so some of the things that you're going to experience is really all it is just to qualify you to where you're going next. And so Laura says, just know all is well, and I got you in my hand, and I'm gonna make sure that you succeed. And God says, when you leave, it'll be undeniable, you know, that my hand was upon you, says God.
Thank you, Prophet
Kyle.
I see that.
You're welcome.
Jesus name.
So be encouraged. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next call, 0012. You're live and on the air, Prophet Kyle.
Hey, Prophet Kyle.
Hey, is this Rashonda?
Yes, it is.
I know that voice anywhere. How are you? I'm well.
I've been stretched to the max, but I'm thanking God and just pressing through, seeking him. I was like Abraham for a minute. I got a little discouraged, but I've been praying and fasting and just building my faith back up.
Amen. 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 Did you hear anything else about the scholarship?
No. As a matter of fact, they sent me an email needing my transcripts, and I was able to get one, and I sent it off. And so I got to get the other two, and then I'm hoping to have everything done by June the 1st.
Amen.
So.
Amen. 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 Well, the Lord's want me to tell you that this is, you're about to go into a year of ease. Last year was a year of stretching your faith. And God says many of the things that I allowed you to encounter and go through was for the express purpose of stretching your faith, and you've demonstrated that you can stand firmly on my word and that you can follow me. And so God says this is now going to be a season where I allow you to recoup and to rest. And so Lord says you're going to find a lot of things a lot easier in this season. God says that you're just going to be in a good place where you can just relax. And God says, I'm doing it just for the express purpose of allowing you to catch your breath. Because God says that there you know about the prophetic calling that's upon your life. And God says that, you know, I'm preparing you. Because God says, you know, the next move after this step, after you've gone through this time of rejuvenation, is commission. And God says, then I'm going to commission you. And God says, you're going to go into the nations, prophesying and speaking, decreeing the word of the Lord. And God says, I'm going to put you in partnership with some men and women of God that you never even thought that you would be running with. And God says, I'm going to do it for the express purpose that you would be satisfied in me and that you would know that I've called you. For the Lord says that the words that I shall speak through you will be words of correction, words that will be stout words, words that will be heavy and sometimes difficult for others to receive. But God says it's all in my divine purpose. You know, there's, you know, you have the prophets, you know, that they come to encourage and to lift people up and, you know, and make people happy. Then you have those prophets that come with words of correction and words of adjusting. And God says, that's a lot of how I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to, not that you won't encourage, but God says a lot of times I'm going to send you in with stout words. They're going to be words that people will have to ponder and think about and even make changes. And so God says, that's all part of what I'm doing in you now, because I'm reshaping you and I'm making your temperament of such to where when I send you for it to share these things, that you won't waver, but that you'll stand firm and knowing that I've shared with you what I have, and you'll also, because of your experiences, you'll be able to minister the word in love and to a point to where people will sense my love even when they recognize that they're being corrected, says the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. Prophet God, that is so on point, because here, you know, what I'm dealing with here, he's been also building my character to stand firm and to hold on. And, you know, even with what I'm speaking, to continue to speak it in love, even though they might not receive it. And it's been hard, but I just, that is just on point. That is so on point. And I want you to know I'm going to sow as soon as I can.
That's fine. That's fine. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. What you could do is, I would really covet your prayers. Believing God. We start shooting in a couple of weeks, my upcoming film, and I need to believe God for about $5,000 more dollars.
Okay.
For that, so if you could just stand in agreement with me, that would be awesome.
Amen. I'm on it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In agreement.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rashonda. And again, just let me know what's going on, and I'll help you any way I can.
All right. Thank you, Prophet God.
All right. God bless you.
Bye bye.
Okay, I think this will be our last call for tonight. 0156, you are live and on the air. Beauty Fashion, it's Prophet Kyle. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
How can I help you?
I just want to know when God is going to restore an old friendship of mine.
Okay. So has God told you that he's going to restore it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll say is this, is that, you know, what I'm hearing the Lord say is more so than the restoration is this, is that you recognizing your value of who you are, because God says that, you know, you have not always been respected, or even appreciated, you know, as you should. And Laura says that what I'm wanting to do is to bring people into your life that will encourage you and that will, that will support you. And so, Father, I thank you, Laura, for this woman. And I ask that you just bring in people in her life that are going to encourage her, that are going to stand with her, that are going to encourage her. And God says that, you know, I just got to share what I'm hearing. The restoration is not going to be like you think it is, because I don't, what I'm sensing is I'm not quite sure that the relationship will be like it used to be. However, it will be reconciled in the sense that you guys will be able to bring some closure to some things, and God will allow his, his balm or forgiveness, you know, to flow throughout your relationship, so that both of you can be in a situation where you still love each other. But I'm not quite sure that it's going to be reconciled in this, you know, where your relationship is going to go back to what it used to be. And I recognize that might not be what you wanted to hear, but that's what I'm hearing from God.
I understand.
Yeah. but you will come to a point of reconciliation and the point where you'll be able to talk things out and you'll have, you know, love towards that person and them towards you.
Okay.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I thank you all for listening tonight, and as usual, join me again next week. And we got Memorial Day weekend coming up. You have a fantastic Memorial Day. Enjoy yourself, and as you remember your loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord, I love you so much, and I look forward to spending time with you next week. Also, too, check out my website, prophetkyle.com. There you can make a donation. If you need a spiritual covering, you can sow a seed. If you want to receive a personal prophecy, you can do that there. Also, too, it gives you links to my media. So if you want to, I'm on in 5 different markets around the United States. If you want to listen to me on those particular radio stations, you can either listen live or you can join me. You can join me because I have links to each of those websites to those radio markets I'm in. And then also, if you received a prophetic word tonight, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and Google my name, Prophet Kyle T. Miller, or you can type in blogtalkradio.com/ Prophet Kyle T. Miller, go to the episodes, and you can download this episode so you can listen to your personal prophecy. I love you all so much, and I look forward to spending time with you again next week on Beauty for Ashes. Bye-bye.